What would you like?
Just means I get to preach at him. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God? It has been a beautiful day today. Thought it was going to rain. The rain held off. And it's just been a wonderful day. I want to talk to us tonight. Myself first. About something that, as we're waiting for God to move, that we really need to learn. And I'm not going to teach you everything you need to know because I don't know everything about it. But, excuse me, but it's something which it will impact as we come to really learn about it, as we come to really seek and let God really reveal what His purpose is for us in learning it. It will change the way our relationship with God is, our relationship with the kingdom, our relationship with the church, whether that's the body or the local church. It'll change our relationship with people around us, Christian and non-Christian. It will change our relationship even with our very selves and how we view ourselves in light of God. It's something which some people fear. Some people fight against. Some people desire it and want it. We all, if we are Christians, have it. Most do not live and exercise within it. And that's authority. Authority. If you have your Bibles, we're going to jump around. I'm going to be as brief as I can. I'm not going to, like I said, there's many things I want to throw out here. Food for thought, stuff for you to think about, and we'll probably come back on it some more. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to go to the end of the book of Matthew. Jesus has died, resurrected, getting ready to leave this earth, and he has his disciples together. And in, verse 18, he says, he came and spake unto them, saying, all power. This word power can be translated authority. You go back to the Greek, it can be translated either way. All authority is given unto me. First thing I want us to understand is that authority is given. Authority means delegated influence. We all have our idea of what authority is, so I went to the dictionaries. It's like delegated influence. Now, the influence part of it is that you have the ability to back it up based off of the power of the one who has delegated the authority. Jesus, in his resurrected state, says, all power and authority has been given unto me by the grantor of all authority, which is God himself. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That doesn't leave very many places out. Every place that matters, he has all authority. And he continues and says, go therefore. Because he has all authority, he has issued a decree to us. Go. Because I have all of this authority, I'm telling you to go. And here's the purpose of your going. To teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Hey, go. because I have all authority, I want you to go and tell everyone about me and about the kingdom and what needs to be done. He says, I want you to teach them all the things I've commanded you. Think of all the things that Jesus has spent 3.5 years building into the lives of these disciples. He has taught them how to love. He has taught them how to have compassion. He has taught them how to pray. He has taught them how they need to be in focus with other people and God. He has been teaching them all these things. There in the upper room, he said, hey, I got a new commandment to you. I want you to love even as I have loved you. Now, I want you to go out and I want you to tell everyone this. Because I have all authority. Oh, and just so you know, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I have all authority. I want you to go, and I want you to know one thing. I'll be with you there every step of the way. I'll be with you every step of the way with all the authority that I have. Because His Spirit is going to be within us. And because He is going to be literally watching over us. We need to understand that the keeper, the holder of all authority, has a plan for our lives which is not involved in just sitting around being a Christian, but it involves going and being active in what He is calling the church to do. This should change the relationship we have with God. Now, if we really come to understand authority and power, it should change our relationship with God. Because no longer are we just serving this God who loves us, which He does, but He has delegated authority first to Jesus and then to us. For sake of making it easy on everybody, I want to go through some different books, different passages. And we're just going to go kind of through the book, start to finish here. And as we get to them, I'm going to point out how this relates into this, okay? So I could hit certain places right now, but I want us to just hold off. And I'll try and make it all make sense at the end. So if you have your Bibles, turn the page and go to Mark chapter 1. If you got some electronic thing, hit that little arrow that says next chapter, and it'll take you over there and go to verse 21. Jesus called the disciples, and we're just going to bounce through a few of these things. And He came to Capernaum, and He went to the synagogue, and He entered in the synagogue and taught. In verse 22, they were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. The reason being is He had authority. There was something about this man that whenever he looked at the word, it was like he really knew what the word meant and how it should be applied to people's lives. See, knowing the will of God and how it is to be applied will give you increased authority. It gives you increased authority because as you know and operate in the will of God, who is delegating authority, you can operate in that more completely. I, as associate pastor, defer to my dad, the senior pastor, in all things. 99% of the time, if there's something that I have to make a decision on, I may already have the solution, but I'll run it by him. Just because he's in position of authority over me. However, I also know that in those times whenever I make the decision and I just have to run with it, that I have his blessing because he's already told me that I have his blessing. Because he has delegated authority to me. And knowing that he has my back, so to speak, I can make that decision and I can go with it. Now, I'll circle back and let him know about it later on. But in the spiritual realm and in our lives, this is the way it works. God has granted us authority. And as we come to know what is expected of God, we can operate in that authority more completely. Because we know what the expectations are. And we know what the desired outcome is. It should change our relationship with God. They were astonished, for he had authority. There was one in their synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, verse 24, "Leave us alone! What have we to do with you? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, are you come to destroy us?" The answer to that is yes. The answer to that is yes. He has come to destroy the works of Satan. He didn't answer that question. He says, "I know who you are. Thou art the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him and said, "Hold your peace and come out of him." Thereby answering his first question, "Are you come to destroy me? I've come to bind you up and keep you from doing what you're called to do." The unclean spirit tore him, cried out with a loud voice, and he came out of him. And all were amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this, and what doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Jesus later on sends out 70, and he gives them power to heal the sick, do whatever is necessary. And they come back, and they're rejoicing and all excited about, "Hey, we've healed people, and even this unclean spirits are subject to our command." He says, "That's great," said, "but rejoice rather that your names are written in the book of life." It's not about kicking demons, but it's also about kicking demons. It's not about healing people, but it's about healing people. It's not about getting people excited, but it is about getting people excited. Because verse 28, immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith they came out of the synagogue. They entered into the house of Simon and Andrew and find Peter's mother-in-law has a fever. He heals her. Sake of time, we're going to jump down. Verse 32. At evening, word has got around. The end of the day, and people, the word has went through the city and through the area. As the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and all of them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. See, authority will change the way we interact with people. Authority will get us to stop looking at what is going on with them and their lifestyles and everything that's going on, and it will cause us to have a new compassion as we really understand authority as it is designed by God. And it will cause us to have compassion on people, and it will cause us to cause positive change to come into their lives. Not because it makes us feel good, but because it opens their eyes to the God who owns and controls and has all authority. Because he wants to be involved in their lives. Now, I want to notice the next verse. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus had been ministering who knows how late into the night, because the sun had set. And all the city came bringing people who needed to be ministered to. It doesn't say how late his day ended. But it was late. But he found this need to get up well before sunrise. And he departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Why? Because he understood authority. We need to really search out this concept of authority. Because Jesus is doing all these great things, but he recognizes he is the Son of Man, needs to spend time with the one who granted him the authority. He needed that time, that one-on-one time, to let his life, his purpose, his vision, his focus to become clearer and more in tune with the one who is granting him authority. See, his day does not be comprised of that which he is wanting to do. His day is comprised of taking care of business for the one who sent him. You know, if you were working in a manufacturing plant, and your job was to put this part on and, you know, hit the bolts, whatever else, and set, we'll just use the theoretical up at Toyota. And if you're there and you get to where you're doing pretty good, and you know your job, and so you decide, you know what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take this and I'm going to watch a video game while I'm putting this thing on. Well, after more than one or two mess-ups, because you're going to mess up, boss can come and say to you, what are you doing? Watching these videos. Well, you see, I got to where I figured I could take care of what you want to do and do what I want to do. Boss wouldn't be too happy. But in our lives, we get this idea, I can do whatever I want to as long as I'm doing my Christian thing. Because we really don't understand authority. Authority will change our relationship. Jesus understood it because of it. He, as the Son of Man, was focused on spending time with the one who granted authority so that he could ensure that he was operating that day, fulfilling the desire of those, that one who granted him the authority. Simon, verse 36, and they that were with him followed after, and they that followed after him, they found him, and they said unto him, all men seek after you. Hey, great things. Everybody wants to see you today, Jesus. You are the star of the day. Jesus' reply is, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he did preach in their synagogues through all Galilee and cast out devils. Everybody wants you here today, Jesus. Yeah, we need to skip town. What do you mean? You got a following today. I'm not after a following. I'm after fulfilling the purpose for which I came. See, truly understanding authority will cause us to get a new focus on what we need to be doing. I fear we really don't, we understand the concept of authority, but we do not understand, I do not really understand authority. As I have been reading about this and finding different things about this, the Lord has been dealing with me that this is one of those big keys to really understanding what it is he's wanting to do in our lives. And to get our focus on what truly matters. I'm just going to throw out a few things for you to think about. It's up to you. It's up to each and every one of us to go from here and to let it increase and to search it out. Is there something major that God tells me that I need to teach? I'll do it. But I think that God is just trying to get each and every one of us to see what's going on here. And have us go from there, because he wants to speak to us individually to build us all up. All right. I got to keep going. Or we're going to be here all night. You don't want that. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 4. Jesus is he's coming. This is the time of the Samaritan, or the centurion who had the sick servant. Excuse me. And when they, people who were sent by the centurion, came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Talk about people having expectations. Imagine that leaders come to you and say, oh, we need you to do something because this person is worthy. You know, it's your first, our first thought's probably going to be is, what makes them so worthy? Authority will help us to see that everyone truly is worthy. Delegated authority will cause us to see, as we truly operate in it, that God really wants to reach out into everyone's lives, so much that he came and died for us. Well, Jesus says, okay, I'll come. Because, you know, this man loves our nations. He's built us a synagogue. And so Jesus is going with him in verse 6. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy. Oh, they said he was worthy. This man says, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto you. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed, for I also am a man under authority, having me soldiers. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And Jesus marveled and said, man, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. But I want you to notice, this man says, I too am under authority. He says, I understand how this authority stuff works. Because I can tell my soldiers, do this, do that, and they're going to do it. I can tell my servants, do this, and they're going to do it. He said, I understand authority, and I understand something else. Your level of authority is far above mine. See, as we truly understand authority, we start to get a better glimpse into the levels of authority and how much it impacts things. This guy says, you know what? I can tell people, I'm a centurion. I can tell people to do stuff, whether they're in the army or not. And they're going to do it. Because I'm under authority. And if you don't want to do it, I got 100 men who will show you otherwise. And if my 100 men is not enough, I can talk to my boss and he'll send down a few more 100 men. And we'll take care of business. Why? Because my boss has my back. Because he wants me to do his job of keeping the peace. He says, I understand this, but I understand something else. Your authority far exceeds mine, because your authority is over sicknesses, is over diseases, is over devils. Your authority is beyond mine. So often in our lives, if we're not careful, we will minimize the true authority that Christ has. We will become complacent in that which we will operate in. This man tells us otherwise. Why? Because all power is given unto God, Jesus. And because of that, he's wanting us to get busy doing the things which he has called us to do. Amen. Do we recognize his authority? Flip over to Luke chapter 11. We're just going to keep moving on. Like I said, I'm just going to throw things out here. Because if I talked until I thought I covered everything that I've been thinking of the last week, we wouldn't get done here today. We're going to jump in here. Verse 20. Jesus has healed a man in the synagogue on the Sabbath. How dare you? And the chief priest and everything said he's cast it out by Beelzebub. And Jesus said in verse 20, if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Notice he didn't say if I with the strong hand of God. If I with a strong arm of God, he says, if I with the finger of God. The first time this phrase finger of God was used was back in Egypt. Whenever Moses was dealing out the plagues to the Egyptians, he would deal out a plague. The Pharaoh's magicians would copy it. He'd do another one, they'd copy it. He sent forth the lice and they couldn't do it. And they said, Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Pharaoh, this is God just starting to get intervening. You might want to watch yourself here. Jesus says, hey, whenever God starts trying to intervene, the kingdom has come upon you. When God starts wanting to intervene, it's for the purpose of trying to get our attention, of getting someone's attention, of getting them to see, hey, God cares enough to tap you on the shoulder instead of knocking your block off. Hey. He goes on. When a strong man, verse 21, armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and he divided his spoils. Two things I want us to see here. First off, in our own lives, how this deals with us directly. Jesus went out to pray and spend time with God because he recognized he needed to keep himself strong. This is Jesus, the Son of Man. We always look, we have a tendency, I will change that too, to think of Jesus as God. But Jesus operated on this earth as the Son of Man. Subject to every temptation and trial that we have, including to just get lazy in seeking God. But he's seen the need to stay close to God and to stay focused because it allowed him to stay strong, because he understood there's an enemy out there who wants to gang up on us, gang up on him at that point in time, to try and overcome him and spoil his goods. So he stayed vigilant in understanding his authority and where he stood within the line of authority. We need to be like-minded. Secondly, it tells me that because he has sent us out, we need to understand, because he has all authority and he has delegated that authority to us and he has our back, that we have the one who has all power, all authority given unto him above, excuse me, as Philippians says, above all names. He says, I have all power and authority in heaven and in earth. We need to be binding up strong men in people's lives. We need to be binding up strong men that come against our lives. I so often live trying to become a better Christian because I let the devil hang around too much. What we need to be doing in our lives actively, daily, and in the lives of others is to be binding up the enemy. based off the authority given to us. We need to be operating in a spirit-driven mindset, not a natural mindset. The things of this life, of the natural man, Romans tells us, are at enmity with God, and they are not subject to the law of God. And so we have to be operating within that realm of the authority and that which really matters. And God is wanting us to get involved in binding up strongholds. Because what He is wanting to do is His work. His kingdom come. As I was preparing for this, I wrote a question at the top of my note page. What is the purpose of authority? What is the purpose of authority? The purpose of authority is to fulfill God's desire. Amen. To have His kingdom come and His will be done. Period. That is what authority is all about. Is having people live in a life in a way in which they can have naturally see the benefits of serving God. That's why He set up governments. By the same token, the purpose of authority in the spiritual realm is to bring people to the goodness of God to live in His kingdom. And just like there are enemies of a nation, there are enemies of God's kingdom. And we don't look at them as enemies. It's like Pastor was saying today, if you can name an enemy that you can see, you've got the wrong enemy. We need to understand there are strong men in people's lives that we need to be binding and spoiling their house for the purpose of bringing forth God's kingdom. We're almost there. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, Paul speaking, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the mighty working, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that should be named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head of all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Paul says, hey, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand how much authority and power and goodness and grace, how much the vastness is that God has given Christ, who is the head of the church, of who we are, the fullness, the body of His fullness. We are to be here now to do what He said, go. We are here to exercise the authority of the kingdom of heaven in this world so that the glory of God can be revealed. Because He is with us even unto the ends of the world. He is here to operate through us as though He were here today. We are His body. There should be no difference between whether He's here or we're here. You say, I'm not God.
But the Spirit of God lives within us. And if we truly understand what this authority and this chain of authority truly is, we should be able to operate in the fullness of who He is. Whenever I worked at the finance company, I was a manager there before I left. And one thing I understood, I told the people what to do. And then they did it. And I'd check up on them, make sure they were doing it and everything, because I had several responsibilities. I had a responsibility to my employees to make sure they were taken care of all right. God has a responsibility to take care of us. I had a responsibility to my company. First off, I was over the human resources department, HR, payroll, all that stuff. So I had an obligation, responsibility to make sure their needs were being met. I had a responsibility to my company to make sure that I was taking care of their needs in a way that wasn't going to kill the profitability of the company. That was my authority. There's one thing I understood. If I told my employees what to do and they understood it, then they needed to go do it. If they had problems, or if it was something more difficult, then I would make sure I was involved. We wonder, why is it God isn't getting more involved? Maybe we haven't got to where we're getting the stuff difficult enough that He needs to be showing up. Or maybe we're not operating in that which He's given us, and He's trying to figure out, why aren't we at our desk doing our job instead of at the coffee machine? He may be looking for us. He wants us to see the vastness of who He is. To really see it and understand it and embrace it. Because He has a purpose. Living in the realm of His authority will cause us, as I said earlier, to change our relationship with God. It should change our attitude towards Him and say, hey, you know what? I'm responsible to God for what happens today. In my life, in the lives of those around me. It should change our relationship to the church, the body of Christ, and the church, the local church. How much are we operating in the authority under and in? See, to operate in authority, you have to be under authority. That's what that centurion made clear. I too am a man under authority. He recognized Jesus was under authority, and that's why He got stuff done. He recognized He was under authority and He could get stuff done. So He said, because we're under authority, I understand this concept. We need to be, as a church body locally and the church body, so much under the control, not control, authority of our pastor and of our head, the Lord Jesus, that we feel free to operate, to conduct our lives with the confidence that what we're doing is A, the right thing, and we're doing it right. That we're doing the right things right. That we are accomplishing goals. If you could, said go start at the beginning and go back, but now I need you to go back to Matthew chapter 20. Yeah, before where we started. We started at 28, we're going to 20. There's been a squabble. James and John. Their mom's trying to get them seats in the right and left-hand of the throne of Christ. It's not going over too well.
And, well, verse 24 says, when the ten heard of it, they were moved with indignation. They got themselves into a little bit of a hissy fit. Jesus called them and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. Hey, let's just look around you at the Romans and stuff and see how they exercise their authority. And the higher up you go, the higher up they feel privileged. But it shall not be so with you. Whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. Whosoever be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And this is the final thing I want to see about authority, is that it's not something where it's about us, but it's about how we get the use the authority given to us. And the authority that is accessible to us as we call out upon the name of Jesus, to where we can minister unto others. Amen. See, where this all boils down to is where Jesus started out at. It's prophesied in Isaiah 61, and it was told by him in Luke, Luke chapter 4. It said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Why? Because he hath anointed me. Hold on. Because I want to get it right to you. I know it, but I've messed it up at times. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. See, we look at authority, and we often look at it as either we have to listen to someone or someone has to listen to us. But that's not what it's all about. What it's all about is having the ability, the delegated influence and ability to set people free, to do the work of the one who sent us. And if we're not operating and working and walking and striving to understand that relationship and to perfect it, then we're kind of like that servant who, whenever he's given the talent, hid it. Yeah, not good. And so often, if we're not careful, we look at our life and we say, well, but I'm just me. I'm just me. Well, go back and review Ephesians chapter 1, that passage there, where it talks about Paul saying that we would understand the greatness and the vastness of all that which God has for us through Christ Jesus. See, it doesn't matter how low on the totem pole we think we are. God has a purpose that he's calling us to, and he needs us to exercise the authority that he's given us. And as we exercise that authority, we're going to become more familiar with who he is and how he operates. And he's going to give us more authority. And there's going to be times whenever we're going to seemingly get in over our head. Because he's going to allow us to get to places where it seems like we're over our head. So that we can turn to him and he can be there and he can guide us and direct us and let us see that, yeah, in him we can do all things. I don't understand everything there is about authority. I believe, though, that is one of those things that we really need to pray that God will open our eyes to. Because there is a world out there that does not want to recognize authority. And there is a spirit. There is a spirit of lawlessness that is working against the spirit of authority. To say that authority doesn't matter. Those in authority are bad. Trying to use of authority is evil. The rules should not matter unless they're the ones that you want to be used. That is Antichrist. And you know why they operate that way? Because they're deceived by the Spirit. And you know why they're deceived by the Spirit? Christians have not been operating in the spirit of authority. The strong man has come in and has claimed his goods. So the question becomes, will the church of God, will the individuals in that church rise up in the authority, in the calling, and in the duty as a soldier of Christ to go and bind up the strong men? That's what we're faced with. If you don't like the way the world is going, if you don't like the way the nation's going, if you don't like the way much of anything's going, I want to ask you, are the things that's happening that you're dissatisfied with, are they what God really wants? And if it's not, what have we been doing to see his kingdom come? His will be done. Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Brother Jim, be sure we get this message put on the online. I hope you heard what was said tonight. I hope you heard it more than once. Because you need to. I want to encourage you, every person in here, to go online and listen to this message again. Because this is really good for new Christians. It's really good for people that have been saved for several years. It's good for people that are called to ministry, whether it's a local ministry, maybe you do visitation, maybe you pray for people, or whatever. But you know, hey, you've got a ministry God has for you. Or you could be in ministry. You could be pastor. And if you were any one of those, I would highly recommend you listen to this message again. Because have you ever read the book, you know, say, third chapter of John, and you read it many times, and then you read it, and since you read it the last time, God snuck in some verses you hadn't seen. He said, man, I don't ever remember reading that. And it was there all the time. That's what this message is. It's good for different levels of Christians, and it's good for those who want to grow. And if the enemy has had your mind directed somewhere else, I can see why. I really encourage you to listen to this again, and I intend to listen to it again. Because I realize that Brother Mark was talking, that he was in over his head. And these are not just things that he came up with, but it is very, very relevant. Okay, and you as a Christian, you need this. You really, really, really need this. You need this as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a grandparent, whatever. I mean, you need this. It's really important. And so I intend to listen to it. Actually, I thought, as Brother Mark was sharing, that I need to set my mind right now to listen to it at least twice more, because there's a lot in there. If you're not careful, you will miss it. And if you feel like, well, I didn't get all that out of it, well, seek for it, okay, because it is good. It is a growing message. It's a growth message. It's a stabilizing, establishing message. Stand together with us. And after we...